Good morning, church. Appreciate you being out today. It's wonderful to be together in the house of God, studying His Word and praising Him, lifting up songs to Him who is truly worthy. We have some guests with us today. We're so glad that you're here. Hope that you can stick around for a couple of moments after the service and get to know us. We'd love to get to know you. My name is Andrew, and I'm one of the preachers here at Livingston. Also want to let you know that tonight at 5 o'clock, we're having a service led by our young men, our college-age men and 20-somethings men on the theme of Be the Example. Set forth the example from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. I know all the membership and everyone else that can will want to be out for that service. Certainly to encourage our brothers, but also to praise God and consider that theme. Hope that you can be out tonight. If you open up the program on page 3, there's an interactive outline. As we go through the scriptures this morning, it's just some selected scriptures I want to share with you. Has anyone told you what's happening next Sunday? Have you heard? Do you know? Do you have a guess? So at Livingston, next Sunday, October 6th, is our Meet the Church Day. We're having a special service where we are encouraging people to invite friends, invite neighbors, invite family. The brothers that will be leading us in the worship will take a moment to explain a little bit about what we're doing now and why we do it this way. And the lesson is going to be on the question, is Christianity relevant? We hope a meaningful question in today's society, particularly for some friends or neighbors that are maybe interested or curious about Christianity. What does it mean? What is it all about? Is Christianity relevant? We've been talking about this. We've been extending some invitations. We've been praying about it. But what I want to do for a couple of moments this morning is just to encourage all of us that when we work together, it makes a difference. And you can make a difference. October 6th is our Meet the Church Day. And there's 4 things that we can do this week to work together to make it a great one. The first place I want to go with you in the New Testament is Colossians chapter 4. Because I want you to understand that your prayers make a difference. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, we come to the Apostle Paul, who is arrested. He is held in prison for the sake of the gospel. And yet he is moved by the Holy Spirit to write a number of letters, among them Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2, we find that he is mindful of having opportunity to preach the word of God and to make it known as he should. He requests the prayers of the saints. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Your prayers make a difference. I want you to appreciate how the apostle is reaching out to Christians, actually in another community, but seeking for them to pray for him and to pray on his behalf. And to pray for what? Look at the text with me. Look at verse 2. Be earnest in the prayer. Be vigilant in the prayer. Offer thanksgivings with your prayers. But here's the request. Here's the supplication, that God would open to us a door for the word. Pray for opportunity. For him, literally, that a door could be opened, that he'd be freed, right? But for us, a door of opportunity, that we would meet people. Have the courage to invite people, to bring them to hear this word, to pray that I might make the mystery manifest or known, to speak as I ought, to pray for the preachers and the teachers next Sunday morning. Paul said, pray for me, that I would have the words, that I would say the truth, but say it in the way that connects, that is right, that is best received. And we want to pray for that for Brother Edwin, who's called upon to preach next Sunday morning, October 6th, with the question, is Christianity relevant? We want to pray for him. I want you to think about the power of prayer with me for just a moment and how we pray for something when it is important. We are taught in James chapter 5 and verse 16 about the effectiveness of prayer, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I tell you what excites me about the power of prayer? Is if the prayer of one man avails much, how many of these hundreds that I'm looking at this morning? Will you pray for this effort? Will you pray for it every day? We are well into, in fact, we're on the home stretch of our 30 days of prayer about October 6th. There were some emails that went out about it early on, but we get a text reminder every day, the membership does, about a particular prayer request. Will you please do that? Will you please do that especially this week?
Maybe you work it into your regular quiet time or prayer time in the morning. For me, sometimes that text is so helpful. You know what? It's a good time to pray about this right now. Would you do that? Because your prayers make a difference. Our prayers make a difference. And I'll tell you that if you missed a day or two praying for this effort and the 30 days of prayer, that's okay. But let's start praying today. Let's pray this week. In fact, would you bow your head with me right now? Our great God and Father, thank you, Father, for the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that we can assemble together without fear of persecution, that we might study your word and worship according to our conscience, that we might be able to, Father, with the freedom of speech, let other people know about your truth and the gospel. It's a wonderful place to live and a wonderful time to live in that respect. Father, I pray for each of us that we would use that liberty and that freedom for good. I pray, Father, that we might all have an open heart and mindful of the power of prayer as we beseech you. And know that every effort involving souls must be bathed in prayer. And we want, Father, to be about your work and your goodwill. And we pray that you would bless these humble efforts here. You, Father, who are able to do so much more than we are able to imagine. But we pray, Father, that we might be able to have eyes to see many people to come to hear the gospel, especially next Sunday, October 6. If it be your will, Father, and that we serve you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you secondly this morning about your example. Your example makes a difference. What does the Lord call us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16? He calls us light, light that cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. There's a world seeing you, and that is the way God intends. This is about your example, about your attitudes and about your actions. And especially when you are around people who are outside the faith, who are not Christians. And I believe that this Meet the Church Day next Sunday, October 6th, that's a good work. We want people to know about it. We want people to see it. Will you support it with your example? Will you set that example by letting people know about it? Will you let your light shine about this? By being here for it, it's a good thing. You know, your attitude about this work is reflected in many ways. Certainly your attendance. You can be the light and set the example if you are here next Sunday to participate in it. And I know that things are going to come up because we live in a busy world. And it's a busy time of year, and it always is. You know, we've got family that we like to visit on the weekends, and you probably have a dear Aunt Loretta or a dear Aunt Bertha, and she, you just don't come around and visit like you should, and she's going to call you this week, and come to Daytona and see me. Come to Daytona and see me. Would you please wait till Sunday afternoon to go to Daytona? Could you be here for this first? I know she's important. I love my Aunt Loretta too. But would you please just put that off a little bit and come be here? Support it with your example. Would you support it with your example and be here just to understand that next Sunday is not the good Sunday to go visit another church? Got all these young people here and they're here for college. And there's just a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend every week. And it's so exciting. And it's so wonderful and so beautiful, and we love all that. Next Sunday is not the time to go visit church, their church, with new boyfriend or new girlfriend. It's time to bring new boyfriend and new girlfriend here. Come here, bring them here. Support this next Sunday. You know, next Sunday is not the day for you to say, they're trying to invite 1,100 people to this worship. What if they come? It's going to be crowded. I just don't even need that. I think next Sunday would probably be a good day for me to could do my golfing. There'll be plenty of people there at church, and I'll catch them next week. You know, if 100 people think like that, we will not have a good crowd at all, right? Don't be scared of people coming. Don't be scared of people accepting the invitation. Next Sunday is not the good Sunday to lie out and practice your golf. Come be here. Set the example. Be the light. Support this. Support it in your participation. Set the example. Be the light of active and joyful worship. Anytime you get a bunch of people in the room and we're going to sing some songs, and we'll try to choose songs that people know. We will, but there's still going to be some songs that people don't know. What a difference it makes to see the people around them singing, singing out, singing joyfully. And boy, this is a congregation that can. I do. I brag on you. When I go around to other congregations, I do gospel meetings. I'll tell you something about Livingston Church. It's a singing church. And the way you sing and we sing together, it's so encouraging and it praises God. And sometimes I just want to keep singing. Let's keep singing. And there's people in this congregation that are talented musically. Use that in worship. It's a wonderful thing. When our neighbors come in and meet this church, they're going to notice something. The songs are a little different here. What is different here? Well, you know, there's actually not guitars up here. There's not a lot of lights or production. There's no electric amps or anything else. And yet there's this music. There is this singing. It's simple, but it's good. It's wholesome and edifying. And I want you to know you make a difference with your voice to stir up love and good works, to teach and admonish. Please be here. Please participate heartily. Please sing out. You see, I believe this effort in our come and see evangelism, it's a good thing. And I'll tell you that when a soul is introduced to the gospel, when it is won to Christ, as a result of this type of effort, we're going to all be singing. We're going to all be glorifying God about that. You can do this. You can set the example and be here and support this. There's a third thing that you can do between now and next Sunday that we all can do between now and next Sunday, and that's to make another invitation. Your invitations make a difference. Your invitations make a difference. It's so interesting as you come to the conclusion of the book of Revelation. I mean late in the book. I mean Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. You get some warnings about don't add or take away anything to the word of God. But what is the Spirit and what is the church doing at the end of this revelation? In Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's what you need to write in your interactive outline there. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Here's the Holy Spirit through the gospel, through the preaching of the word, inviting all men, whosoever will, to come. And here is the bride, which is the church of the Lord, with a mission to invite all men from every nation to come, to know the spiritual waters, to know everlasting life, to know fellowship with God. This is our mission. We see throughout the scriptures, Jesus and his followers saying, come and see, come and see. And we believe in it. Here at Livingston, we think about our evangelistic efforts in two prongs. There's the come and see evangelism, which is make invitations and have an event like next Sunday. There's also the go and tell evangelism, where we have Bible classes equipping people to do one-on-one Bible studies, and teach the gospel to other people. But I'll tell you that the power of a simple invitation, it is incredible. It's incredible because it is non-confrontational. It's very low-key, and it shows a genuine interest in other people. I think you might like this. I think you might want this. I do. And sometimes it can just be, you know, kind of fun. This last week, I went to the bank, and there's a couple of tellers in the bank, a couple of ladies that I've invited from time to time since I've lived in the area. It's been a little while, and I know this is the time to circle back around to them. And so the one lady was kind of helping me, and I said, oh, by the way, I gave her one of the cards. I said, we're having a big day at church next week. I'd love you to come out and worship with us, and you can sit with me and my family. And a real nice lady, Sherry's her name, and she got all kind of blushed, and she had that body language that said, boy, you're so nice. I wish you'd stop doing this. You know, it was a... But now what's interesting was down the counter was another lady, and her name's Jacqueline. And she ran over real quick, and she stuck her hand out. I said, oh, well, yes, I have another one. Yes, Jacqueline, please come. It's a big day. In fact, I said, I think you should both come. I want you to sit on either side of me, and I'll ask my family to scoot down the pew. And they just laughed. They thought that was so funny. And I'm goofy that way. But I got a couple more invitations in. And that's really what it's about. Steve Linder was talking about making invitations when we were standing in the back, and he said, "What you got to remember, Andrew, is you just don't know. You just don't know until you ask someone. You just don't know until you give them the card." And Brother Hartzell was telling me the other day how that he had a little bit of dilemma about making that first invitation. He was kind of wrestling with a little bit of courage how to say it, and he just did it. And he said, "Boy, that was so much easier. I got on a roll. I actually invited 20 people over the course of the day." He just kept doing it all day long. And I'll tell you, Scott, that's right. Sometimes it's about just doing that first one. I invited them. They didn't chop my hand off. They didn't yell at me. They didn't say, "I can't wait to be there," either. But you know what? I'm alive, and I'll invite someone else. And you can. And I want to encourage you to make that invitation. Where did we come up with 1,100 invitations? Well, we were just doing some math about all the adults that have been coming around here, you know. And if the adults could get the 3 invitations in the course of that month, we were gonna beat that 1,200 number. And then we write it in, we color it in. That's a lot of fun. And I know the teenagers and younger people have been doing it too. Don't forget to make that invitation and to color it in. From time to time, on our tracker in the back, from time to time, I like to remind you, why so many invitations? This seems like such a lofty goal. And I share with you the research from people who study these trends and these evangelistic types of efforts and the power of invitations. But basically, the numbers works down like this. You have to invite 100 people to produce 10 guests to a worship service. And to understand about that, that once you've invited 100 people, it will produce 10 positive responses, 10 folks. Doesn't mean that they'll all come on the day that you want. And it doesn't mean that it's 10 people you talk to. It might be just one or two of the people you talk to, but he had a family of 4. She had a family of 5. And so the whole family came, all right? So you got to talk to a lot of people. We all do. Then of the 10 guests that come, one time, however how they come, and honestly, this is the 3rd year we've done this Meet the Church effort. We have had guests as late as 6 weeks later, but write on their card, "Well, I was invited with this card." I mean, they indicated it was because of this event, but they didn't come till much later. So, I mean, these numbers really do bear out. This is how it works. 10 guests, 6 to 7 will attend once. They're going to come, and they'll be polite, and they'll look it over, and they'll say, "Well, but you know, that's not me," or "That's not me right now," which means 3 to 4 will attend multiple times. "Oh, you do have a Bible class. Well, I'd like to sign up for Bible class. I'll come back around for that. Oh, there's a house-to-house group. I might try house-to-house group," something like that. And then out of that 3 to 4, there's probably one person who's wanting to know more about the word and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized into Christ. And so, you know, to put forth an effort, we're going to work together and try to make 1,100 invitations. You know, we're hoping to have, in reality, you know, about a dozen people that may come to Christ and obedience to the gospel out of this, if the Lord blesses it. And, of course, he can do exceedingly abundantly anything that we ask or think. But we'd love to generate these kinds of people to speak to the word with, and it just takes a lot of effort with the invitations. And yet there's some people you can invite if you're like, "Well, man, I would hate for somebody to say, I wish you'd stop doing that." Who would be some people I could invite, and I think more likely they'll come? Again, other people that do the research, I'll share it with you. But 41% of people who maybe went to church as a child or even as a young adult but have fallen away responded in survey to say that they would accept an invitation from a friend or an acquaintance. And you say, "Well, that's kind of common sense, isn't it?" Well, yeah, maybe it is. I have a little bit more influence. People think a little bit more of me if they know me than someone cold. But however you want to invite people, invite people. Similarly, in that same body of research, about 25% of people who either grew up in churches and fell away, or maybe they went as a young adult but they've fallen away, they said they would respond to an invitation from their children. Now, isn't that something? We usually think about mom and dad always setting the example for little Johnny. But when little Johnny grows up and is a Christian, he has an interest in mom and dad's soul. And there's some mom and dads that will come and worship with little Johnny. They'll respond to that invitation. Likewise, 25% of people who attended church while young, but they've left altogether, they would respond to an invitation from any adult family member. Think about those aunts and uncles. Maybe get sweet Aunt Loretta to come over here next week instead of you go see her in Daytona. You know, invite. This is about come and see. And the challenge is these three invitations of peace. That's going to get us to our number, and we can do it. Can you commit to make an invitation before Wednesday? Can you commit to, I'm going to do that. I'm going to color the little box. I'm going to do it. And there's so many ways to do it. Of course, we have the little cards, the little business cards. I like to use those. We have the 4x6 mailer cards if you want to drop something in the mail. Write a little letter. Leave a card with a tip somewhere at a restaurant. Of course, I know most of us, we're very online and we're very social now. And so, you know, go to the Livingston website. There's a page about it that you can forward the link about. There's an event prepared on Facebook. We're starting a Facebook campaign tomorrow that goes live with the targeted advertising. And so there's Facebook that you can like it. You can share it and boost it and however you want to make it known. And then next Saturday, October 5th, there is a door-to-door visitation planned where we're going to be personally going to the neighborhoods nearby the church building and introducing ourselves, handing them a card, inviting them to come and worship. The next day, come to ask this question, is Christianity relevant? Would you like to do that? You want to be a part of that? You can see me or Ryan Lanning or Tim Fannin about how to get involved with that. There's three things I said that you all can do. We all can do that'll make a difference. Well, that is number three. Four things that we all can do to make a difference for our Meet the Church Day. Number four, your greeting makes a difference. Number four, your greeting makes a difference. I want to take you to a passage in Luke chapter 7 of a dinner party gone awry in Luke chapter 7. Where the home of one Pharisee, a fellow named Simon, wants to invite Jesus to come and be a dinner guest. And that sounds good. Of course, Simon is all appalled to discover that here in the midst of the meal, a sinful woman, a known sinner in the community, would dare to come up in this house and give all this special attention to Jesus, even be washing his feet with her tears. And of course, Simon says, I really doubt he's a prophet. If he knew who this woman was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. The Lord brings a stunning rebuke to Simon the Pharisee. Luke 7, verse 44 says this. Then he turned to the woman. He said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Here's what I want you to see. There was an expectation of greeting, of hospitality, of courtesy. And Simon the Pharisee did none of it. He is so shocked at Jesus having anything to do with this evil woman, sinful woman rather. And yet what is really shocking is how rude and awful he has been to Jesus. No water to wash the feet, no greeting, no anointing oil, no courtesy. I want to tell you that we all have an expectation of what is an appropriate welcome, an appropriate greeting in a situation. Here the Lord had an expectation. It was not met. People have expectations. We all do. And we may not always sense it or be able to articulate it, but we can feel when someone cares and makes us feel like we belong, and we can feel when it seems like they don't. We can feel that also. And I'm going to tell you that with the new faces and the new folks we're going to see around here next week, your greeting makes a difference. Now, over 25% of the congregation, one way or another, participates in our guest evangelism effort. And I think that is fantastic. I want to applaud you all, whether that's taking your turn as greeters, working at the information desk. There's some people that work security out with the automobiles. There's people that write little thank you notes for coming and follow up that way. It's fantastic. There's people that, the ushers that come and take the connection cards and make sure those are processed and the spiritual needs are met and they go to the people that they need to go to. And I appreciate all of that. It's going to be happening next week. But greeting is a congregational effort. We all need to be about this. What we do not want to happen is someone comes in that exterior door and boy, they are just greeted and loved and everything. And then they come through this next set of doors and it's like they step through a dimensional portal. And in this new dimension, no one smiles and no one shakes hands and no one meets them and they like the other dimension. You know, I might have to go back to where the people were friendly. This is congregational. This is congregational. And so this event is an opportunity to help all of us be involved with welcoming people and doing our part. And we all can. You know what we can do? We can, maybe about four things. We can park in back and sit up front. Now, I tell you what's nice about going someplace when you can find a parking spot. That's nice. How can we help people find a parking spot? If we'll go ahead and park a little further back and walk in a little bit further ourselves next Sunday morning. You know what's really nice? It's really nice to be able to find the seat to sit in where you want to sit. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice when you go to the movies or something? You kind of get the one that you want to sit in. So nice, so nice. You know how we can help our guests find the seat they want to sit in? If we all come down front. Sit a little bit closer and a little bit further down front. Because they're going to want to sit in the middle or towards the back. It's where we all want to sit. But we're going to give it up for our guests by coming down front, sitting a little closer and sitting down front. Can we do that? And that's welcoming. That's welcoming. You know what else we can do? We can be mindful of someone within an arm's length of ourselves, and we don't know them. You're a new face. I don't know you. And we can meet them. If they're within an arm's length, they're within the reach of a handshake. See how that works? And introduce ourselves. I'm so-and-so. What's your name? I'm so-and-so. I'm so glad you're here today. And you don't have to give them the third degree, but just be friendly and introduce yourself. Handoff idea, the handoff rule, if you will. What's the idea here? Well, you're going to meet someone new, and as the service concludes, people are generally exiting towards the back, aren't they? And you might get to meet them. I hope that you do. Try to introduce them to someone a few pews down on their way out the door. Arlene Morrow is a master at this, by the way. She always makes sure to introduce a guest to me or somebody just one more time on the way out the door. Just watch Arlene today and say, I want to see how to do this. There's a number of you that do it well. But again, we're communicating a sense of there's someone else I know here. There's another friendly face. And of course, here's the big one we probably talk about more than anything. And that's the 10-minute rule. If I was to quiz you, I bet most of you know what that is. So when service is over, we love to kind of huddle up with all of our close friends and dearest family and people we've not even seen since Wednesday night. And so, you know, what's been going on in your life? And I got to share what's going on in my life. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful. It's wonderful for everyone except the deacons who are trying to lock up the building. But for everyone else, it's wonderful, wonderful. So what we're asking you to do, all of us to remember to do next Sunday, is give it 10 minutes before we do all that huddling up. Because basically in 10 minutes, the new faces will be gone. If you have a new face that's with you, you brought them in, you want to introduce them to a couple people, but you're probably going to be taking them on to the lunch plans or wherever that you're going from there. And so be mindful of the new faces around us for 10 minutes. And then kind of when that's done, that time passes, then we catch up with all of our loved ones, all of our friends, and all of our brethren. I just want you to appreciate, you make the difference. You can be that reason. You can be that impression of the love of Christ on someone who's not a Christian. And it's because you're friendly. It's because you're welcoming. And it means so much. Four things that you and I can do to make a difference for next Sunday, our Meet the Church Day. There's just not a doubt in my mind that we all need to work together. And I want to encourage you, when you pause to say a prayer, you're not the only one doing that. There's hundreds of people praying about this any given day. And I want to encourage you, when you're trying to get up the courage to hand someone that invitation card or say a word about it, there's hundreds of people that are working on this right now, this same day, and we're going to do this. And so I don't want you to think that you're alone for a moment, but I want you to understand that you're making a difference, and we all are as we're doing it together, as we're doing it together. We have guests here this morning, and so I want you to know we'd love to have you back next Sunday. We're actually having a special event. It's called Meet the Church Day on October 6th, and we're going to be looking at the question, is Christianity relevant? Would you come be here? Would you come be part of it? We would love nothing more for the rest of us that we might be mindful of how we this week will spend our time and invest it to make a difference. If you want to put your notes away, put your Bibles away. Brother Clough's going to lead us in another song. It's a song of invitation. There's nothing and no one that makes a greater difference than Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He came from heaven and walked this earth. He laid down his life for you, for me, at the cross. He died for our sins, and yet death could not hold him. He rose again. He offers new life, forgiveness of sins, and the promise of heaven in him, in relationship with him. And you can respond to that good news by repenting of your sins and being baptized, immersed in water, baptized into Jesus this morning. If we can help you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a Christian, or pray for you, minister to any of our spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now as together we stand and sing.